Oh. Sofa like this in front of anybody. This is quite nice. But yeah, the topic that I'm going to share on is in Moortown, Y. And I guess, from the beginning, what happened, the experience that I have with it is I'm not a writer. I don't write anything. But what had happened was Philadelphia in the late 70s, we started writing our own literature. And we wrote a book called Living Clean that never got anywhere except the back burner of the World Service Lit Committee for about 20 years. And it never came to any fruition or anything like that. But that was the only experience that I had ever had with it, of writing anything that had to do with literature. And that was a bunch of addicts, compiling a bunch of notes and putting it together to make sense out of the nonsense. And that's basically what it was back then, because nobody knew how to write anything. And we had this one guy who thought he knew how to write. He was a professor at some university, so he thought that he should have the final say, which he didn't, thank God. And I don't know if it was a mistake, but I was on the editing committee that had part of the final say, and maybe that's why it didn't get published. But anyhow, that was the only experience that I had ever had with any kind of literature. The rest of the stuff I stole, which means I copied it. Because, back in the early days, it wasn't just people coming to meetings, you wanted to give them something. And we didn't have a basic text, and we had very few IPs, and they were tough to get from the West Coast. So we made our own stuff. And that was what my experience was, having anything to do with literature. I went to some literature conferences. I didn't want to write my story for the basic text because I was one of them people that was still going to jail when they were writing the basic text. And my biggest fear was, if they put my story in the basic text and I get loaded, that's pretty bad. And I still wasn't sure, and this is years clean. I mean, I was pretty unstable, a lot of years clean. I wouldn't say that I could use the Charles Barkley saying, we're not role models, because in a way we are, but it's really how we live. And I was living the way I wanted for a long time. So I didn't feel qualified to be involved in anything that had to do with literature. And I really didn't want to be involved with anything that had to do with literature, because people would read it and judge it and so on and so forth. So to make a long story short, how I got involved with It Works Out Why, I was on the Board of Trustees, got elected to the board in 1983, and Bo and I went on the same year, and we were the first trustees ever to be outside of California, on a scale that's comparable to what we know today. And Bo and I both knew that the mecca of recovery wasn't Southern California. But how Bo knew how to take it, to another level, I didn't, because I didn't have any literature experience except for what I had, and that was minimal. But what had happened was, the basic text got written, and it was a huge success. We could go into the cities, and this is where the cities exploded after the basic text came out. You look at the history of Narcotics Anonymous, there wasn't a city area that exploded before the basic text. Once the basic text came out and we had something to give people, the numbers came. So it's almost like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, will come. And what happened, once the basic text was written, people came. And that is probably the biggest compliment you could give to the people who were involved in the basic text. And what happened after the basic text was around for a few years, this woman came up with an idea that, you know, the basic text was this, and they wanted something to help people learn how to internalize and work the steps. And that's where the idea of it works, how and why came about. And, you know, I knew the lady pretty well. She was my sponsor's wife. And that was kind of where it took hold. Whether or not she came up with the initial idea or not, she's the one who started to run with it and got things, got the momentum behind it. And, you know, at the 86 World Service Conference, a guy named Vince D became the world lit chair. And a guy named Michael L became the vice chair. And what they did, they selected people every month to go out to California, and they would put us in a room from Friday night till Sunday, and we didn't leave the room all day. They brought us, they went to that hamburger place around the corner from the office. I forget the name. Everybody knows the name, yell it out. But anyhow, there's a hamburger place right around the corner from the World Service office. What they did, they brought our meals into us. They brought lunch and dinner into us, and we would get there about 8 in the morning, and we would leave, zigzag down 405 going home because we were so tired. But what it was a compilation of people's experiences with working the steps. And, at that point in time, people felt that there was a need to have more emphasis on sponsorship and how to work the steps and how to live the program. And not just about the nature of addiction, and it took on a life of its own. And so once a month they would have people come out and they would record the whole session. And in the beginning there was a producer who was in the fellowship from CBS. Everything that Dan Rather ever said, she wrote for him. And she was the one who transcribed the tapes for a couple of years. And it took a long time to get a draft, a good couple of years to get a draft of the steps and the traditions. It wasn't something that you could go out and do in one weekend. And every time that I would go to one of these, I would think that, we're going to get this done. And we would never got done what I thought we could get done in a weekend. Writing literature is a long process. It's not and maybe it was because the groups that were assembled to do the writing just beat it to death, me being one of them. And not having a lot of literature experience, I would say if anybody did beat it to death, I did, because I was worried about what the reaction would be. Because, look, as many people as there are in these rooms, that's how many different ways there is to live this program. There isn't one way. And what happened, I surrendered to that through this whole process and got a little more open-minded. And it didn't have to be the way that I was taught or the way that Joe Balls the Ragman was taught. So for me, it was like a spiritual realization that, this thing is going to impact a lot of people. Let's do it right. So that was able to bring at least me more patience. And I'm the type of person, you don't have to wonder what I'm thinking, I'll tell you. So I wasn't one of the people that would just sit and let it simmer like a good stew or something like that, and then take from my head to my gut to my mouth and tell you what I thought. I would shoot from the hip right away, and a lot of times I was wrong. And they kind of had to settle me down. And then, you know, through this whole process, I didn't even think I deserved to be out there. You know, let somebody else do it. And have somebody else get told to shut up. And you don't know what you're talking about. Well, what the fuck am I doing here then? I got better things to do than to fly out Friday night and fly back Sunday night on the red eye. Who gives a fuck if you're paying for it? So, what happened, back then, we used to have what was called quarterlies. And it would meet in a different part of the country every 3 months. And so finally, they came up with a draft. And it was called the L.A. Draft. I tried to get a copy of it, but somehow, a person got a copyright on it and wouldn't give me a copy. And I said, you motherfucker. Now you're just going to keep it? I hate it. And you'll find out why in a few minutes. So what had happened was the draft got written finally. And it was like the people that was involved in it, and I can tell you some of the people, some of them have passed on. Pepe was involved in a lot of it. Sydney was involved in a lot of it. Carmelita came out. Doreen came out. Vince was at all the meetings. There's just a lot of people, but I would say that Barbara Blaze even came out. That was a pretty wild weekend. She wore her Michael Jackson gloves to a lit committee, you know, thing. It was pretty cool. But what had happened, this draft got written, you know, the people that was involved with it was like, I guess it's kind of like the same thing when somebody makes a movie or writes a book, you know, what's the reaction going to be? Well, the reaction was mixed. You know, some people felt it was too strong, some people, you know, and that's what you get with it. So it was, you know, back to the drawing board for more. And I was involved with it from 86 to 89. And then a funny thing happened along the way. They gave it to a professional writer. Now this may have pissed a lot of people off, but I know for me it got me off the hook. You know, I ain't taking away for nothing that's like going to be a dog, you know what I mean? But what had happened was they hired a professional writer for $50,000. And it was done. Fuck it, I don't care what they think. It was done underhandedly. You know, the fellowship didn't have a say in it. You know, and whether or not you think we need a good conscience or not, I was taught if it works, don't fix it. And it worked fine for a long time. And there's a lot of people that are gray-haired here that can tell you it worked fine for a lot of years. But we didn't have a say in it. And so they hired a professional writer, and a couple years later, the book got copyrighted. I think it was 92, 93 or something. It was copyrighted. You know, and that's basically what my experience was with it. And I guess you can tell I'm not getting into the professional writer bullshit, because that, to me, that's what it was. I don't need to say anything. If you believe that this fellowship deserves a good conscience and it gets taken away from it, you know, you take your lumps. And that's basically, for the people that was involved with it, that's what it was. You know, look, as far as my commitment, any commitment that I ever took for Narcotics Anonymous, I did it all the way through. I was at every board of trustee meetings except for one, and that's because I was in jail. I went to every, I held every commitment, made coffee every time I was supposed to, every single commitment that I did. And even with this book, it was not the easiest thing. When you're involved with something for 3 years, it's hard to let go of and have somebody just come in and change the rules. But that's what happened. And that's the story of how it works, how and why. It was started by the fellowship. We took input. We had lit workshops at all the quarterlies, and we took input at every quarterly. And we had them written down on pieces of paper. And when these tapes were written, you know, we would talk about them. Everything that everybody had written was mentioned on these tapes. So every little piece that was written on a little piece of paper was included as input to this book. It wasn't just a bunch of people there, or a few people that were there, and it was the idea of a few people. At these quarterly meetings that the WSO had, they had input from every group, you know, and every single person in Narcotics Anonymous, and some of the stuff was even done right there. And that stuff was compiled and was taken to these assembled meetings out at the office, and it was going over every single piece of literature. And I can remember unwrapping pieces of paper and reading them, and stuff on scratch pads. Some people typed it out. Some, you got to understand, in 86 computers weren't real big, so there wasn't a lot of computer printouts. But that's the way it works out and why it was done. Every single piece of input was mentioned on these tapes, and these tapes were transcribed and put in to make some kind of sense. And basically my role was just to be a helper. I wasn't anything more than that. You know, because when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I never had any original ideas. All my original ideas sent me to jail. Clean, you know, so the fuck did I know? You know, and you learn along the way that, you know, in with literature, you got to get your ego out of the way, and you got to let it flow. And I didn't know how to do it, so I kind of felt like a misfit at most of these things. You know, like to me, Pepe and Sydney, they were these real spiritual people, and, you know, I'm still going to jail. You know, what the fuck am I doing here? So I felt like out of place, so I helped in whatever way that I could, and I kept that same professor from Philadelphia who wanted to get involved with this book. I know one thing, I fucking poisoned him from being on that committee. You could put that on the tape. And it'll be there. He thought that he was a better writer than anybody. Me and Bobby still don't believe he was an addict, so. But, you know, that's how the book was written. It was transcribed every month. You know, all the notes that came in from around the fellowship were included on all the tapes. This producer from CBS, she transcribed the tapes. When we would go back to the next meeting the following month, that would be done, and we could read it, and you make your changes, and it's write, change, react. Or no, write, react, and change. Write, react, and change. Write, react, and until you get it right. And it's kind of like steel. You keep burning until the impurities come out, and that's what the lit process was like, so it works out a lot. And then, after this particular group of people thought that they were going in the right direction and getting it right, end of discussion, it was taken away from the committee and given to a professional writer to put together. And that's basically who wrote it works out a lot. And if you think it was with a group conscience, do your due diligence to find out if it was. Because I know that the decision to bring in the writer, I didn't know about it. And I was part of that process. So, but anyhow, that's how it was. And that was 1989. And then it took a few years for that to get put together. And then they came out with a copyright. But as far as the overall process, it was a pretty good experience. It was, for me personally, I got to see how it got to that point. I watched the people from all around the quarterlies. Kansas City and Denver in particular were two that I really saw. And there was one on the East Coast, it may have been Baltimore. where I saw a lot of input come in because people started to get passionate about it and they wanted to share what their experiences was with living the steps. And that's basically what it works out and why it was for, to take it a bit further past addiction and help people along the road to recovery as far as internalizing the steps. Maybe some things to see, maybe some things to feel. But an overall kind of a process of the journey that we all go on. And it has tidbits of this and it has tidbits of that, input from this person to that person, that basically just got voted on to be included. And that's how it was. There was real no strong personalities that, you know, drove the wagon to say. It was a true, in my opinion, it was a true fellowship experience when we saw all the input that came from, you know, and I got to tell you this, it was mostly from the United States. I know we're a worldwide fellowship today, but most of it came from the United States. And if we were to do such a project like that today, you know, I'm sure that the people that were there in the very beginning of Narcotics Anonymous, they would envision a worldwide fellowship participating. You know, and maybe that's something to think about down the road. Maybe there will be something like that where, you know, they take the true test of time, not hurry it through just to make a few dollars. You know, if the office is going to broke, fix it. Don't charge more for literature and don't print more literature that isn't approved.
Can you say that again, please?
Yeah. I don't even know what I just said. Yeah, listen to the tape. Whatever, but I like that, you know. But anyhow, that's the way that the whole thing went down. That particular book, you know, and I know that the basic text was written not by a few people, by what the worldwide fellowship was at that time. You know, it was a, I mean, Jimmy Nichols gave me a suitcase of input. Jimmy Ann, sorry. Gave me a suitcase of literature. And a lot of it came from the very first Lit Convention in Nebraska. And if anybody wants to know where it is, I gave it to Cindy, who was secretary at the time. She's living in Florida. If you want to track it down, I'll track her down. But I felt that I didn't deserve to have it because I wasn't there. I gave it to somebody who was there, and I got it from the person who was the chairperson at that time. So I just felt that it meant more to that person than it did to me, because I don't hold on to anything. I don't have any memorabilia in my house. I don't have any. I got two mugs in my house from NA, and that's it. I give everything away. Because I want to keep it inside. That's why I give it away on the outside. You know, the things don't mean anything to me. I like seeing Danny's collection that he had. You know, but getting back to the literature, because I don't know how I even started talking about that. Now, see what I mean? Can you see from the literature thing? I'm fucked up up here. Trying to tell you a story and I can't keep fucking track of it. Can you picture me in a literature room trying to write a fucking book? I mean, come on. But back to what the it works how and why was, I saw a joint effort from the areas, from the groups, the areas, the regions, and World Services, to a point where World Services took it away. And I don't care what they say. Look, I was on the Board of Trustees. I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics. I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I agree with what they're trying to do. I just don't like it sometimes. And I come voice my opinion, and they can't do a fucking thing to me today. And back then, they would take away my title. I never lived for titles. I never took a service position because I needed to have myself work feel better. So, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it, but I think they should wear it. You know, that's just Dutch as Dutch sees it. So when the professional writer took it over, it was out of everybody's hands, and it was kind of like, this was the slap in the face. Take it or leave it. You know, and there was no comeback like, fuck you. It was a take it or leave it. And so, do I sound better? A little bit. Was it worth the experience? I'd do it again. I got to know Pepe really good, which was a joy. He was a good dude. We had it out, as I did with a lot of Californians, because a lot of Californians thought that the Mecca of recovery was Southern California, and I'm from the East Coast, and we're kind of proud of what we got going on here. All the egos and all the attitudes through that whole process surrendered, and it got to be a pretty nice thing to be a part of. But that's my experience with it. It works out a lot. The fellowship took it to a certain point, and then it got taken away, and they hired a professional writer for $50,000, and what we got was take it or leave it. And that's my experience with it. Works out a lot. Next, Billy S.
You were there for that. All right? And everyone was getting excited about being able to participate in literature again. Yeah. All right? Because the literature process closed down, where the fellowship couldn't be involved for, and then all of a sudden after the Charlotte conference, and why I want to bring this up, because a guy named Grateful Dave, anyone ever hear that name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Grateful Dave was my best friend in recovery. Grateful Dave was from West Virginia. All right, I met him when he had 30 days clean, and we were going to Chicago World Convention in 84. We're going to Chicago, and I met this guy, and he's bubbling all over the place, wants to get involved, and I'm inviting him to the World Public Information Committee that we're having in West Virginia. And at that point, the World Public Information Committee was an open participatory committee, just like the original writing of the basic text. And open participatory is where anyone can come and participate and be involved. They don't need a title, they don't have to be cloned, to Van Nuys at that point in time, to be involved. They don't have to be handpicked to be involved. You can tell a newcomer, going to the NSNA function that Joe Meeks talked about, that Jimmy drove in, the NSNA function was in Georgia, but Joe would pass that on to the next person that he got involved with, and that person, I remember meeting Joe at Second Social Convention, and he was on roller skates, and he gave me that great book, and he gave me this four-step inventory guide that their professors are talking about. All right, putting the conference floor to have this removed from the inventory list, not to disapprove it, but to have it removed. And it was never ever, if I was to approve this piece of literature, I don't know if anyone's ever seen it. It's called the original four-step inventory guide. It's the inventory guide that I used when I was growing. It's never been disapproved. What it was taken off the production list. Could not longer be sold. So our home group started printing it immediately. So, we got a history of printing literature. When they didn't give us our basic text. Remember that originally when they didn't give us our book? What did we do? We printed them. We had a history in Narcotics Anonymous where we print literature at group levels. We printed the basic text, the one that Jim was up here with the approval form basic text, and we just start printing them. Fourth East Coast Convention, the basic text that we used there were printed by the area I belong to, the host of the Fourth East Coast. We printed them so we would have the basic text to base the Fourth East Coast on the basic text. To be the first convention that would actually base it on our basic text here in Cox Mountain. Written by Alex Forrest. And why I got to go through this brief piece of history, because if I want to get to the Beige Blue, we got to understand how we got to that point where everyone wants to blame one individual for printing this and taking the court and suing. But this Beige text has been a football for years. We didn't get our book, they changed our first edition. They changed it, and my grandfather was involved in that change. Everyone knows who this Jimmy Kay. He was involved in that change and changed our traditions. And that's why in the baby blue it says the original fourth and ninth tradition. It says it in there, the original fourth and ninth. And you can read it and what it says. You can compare it with your book and what it says. But I believe in comparison so you know what we're, anything I should talk about should be based in fact and there should be written documentation for what I talk about. And if you need any documentation, I got a box of it here for you, okay? You can go through it all. It's all printed. It's all available. It's all online. You can get this stuff. It's online. Well, our group prints it up and we put it in bulk form, like this. The court case is there. That's the court case. Next thing on the World Lit Conference, we can show you the open participatory of the writing of the basic text, actually, what states were involved, how many addicts were there, the comparison on the amount, like when it went to California, we maybe had a large contingency of the California at that conference. The one member that was at all was involved, he's the one that, and it tells you which members and how many conferences they were actually at there. It actually tells you how many conferences you were at. Tell you how many Joe was at. How many conferences everyone was at. It's in here. Documentation.
I always quote the figure 1,200, which may be approximate. There were a lot of local committees that had lots of attendance that we could not keep records of.
But this is the documentation of portion of your records. And a breakdown and stuff of it. Which is kind of neat. Okay? And I'm collecting a lot of information And the whole of it must be printed. So that if we're going to inform someone, they should have all the information to make a clear of the decision, based, conscious thought at a group level.
Let me insert one thing real quick, Billy. Let me take a second. Remember, all these lit workers, my name's Lord, I'm having. All these lit workers were going to NA meetings with pencils in their head. They were taking notes. So the best that they heard was written down. So it was much greater than 1,200. But you might say 1,200 primaries. But they grew on, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. That's why we stand. Thank you.
Thank you. But the whole issue is this process here, the local justice board, and then the conference starts shutting down the open justice board involvement from the fellowship. Stop the process. So I'm just talking about an open justice board is impartial, but yet they're talking about flying people to California to write. Not where I could go and be involved in as these conferences were. Two different types of conferences. Key benefit? Why is he wrong? Good spiritual benefit. Alright? The list of people who wrote our white patient text, a large majority of them were not involved in that even. Large majority were shut out. And that's history. You want to know about history, we got to tell them everything. I can't sit up here and give you a great spiritual message that I'm sitting on top of the bat. Alright? I can't give you that. I can tell you the experiences that I've been through. The experiences that I've been through is that we got a lot of strife in our fellowship. Okay? It's not always pretty. I can tell you that because it's true. How many people have ever met Bill Allen in the Narcotics Anonymous that's in this room? Okay, very few. How many have heard my name? A little bit more, right? How many have sat in the house and broke bread with me? That's something we learned early in the class. Now if we break bread and get to know the person. Right. But a lot of people, they spent time we had dinner in our home together. People came to my home in early Narcotics Anonymous and they brought Danny from Connecticut here. First bread in my home. People got to know me by being in my home with me. You got to evolve to get to know me, and you know what I talk about is open systematic structure. You know what I talk about is I trust you. I trust that if they give you all the right information, you're going to make your group's going to be able to make the right decision for Narcotics Anonymous. And Narcotics Anonymous is the most beautiful thing that could ever happen to us. All of us are here because of caring. And we care. But the issues that go on here with this book being printed and the strife that happened, it's not the book. It's because of common procedures, lack of trusting groups to be able to make decisions. And this was just what came out at the end. When they changed this four-step inventory guide, when they changed our basic text originally, we got the first edition that was not ours. We ended up with the second edition. Right? Second edition. Then the conference again made a decision on the conference board without a community agenda. See, we believe in the agenda report, right? We should put agenda and then come out to the groups. We would take that back to the groups and you get the agenda report and the groups would make decisions. And then you get to the conference. Something different happens. You got new information. Got to make a decision. You should be entrusted to make that decision for your group, or your area, or your region. You should be trusted to make that decision. You should know what they're going to think. Even though we're each of guys in here, we should know what you're going to think, right? Put me in a position where I don't know what all these people are going to think. It becomes a problem. Because I don't know how you'll think. I may assume, but what happens when we assume? That becomes a guy, right? So, we go through the process, and we got the third edition because the conference said we're going to put this out to the fellowship, and you got 6 days to make a decision, to change the tradition back to what they changed them to in the first. 60 days. And how'd they come about? A group from Nebraska. Well, how's a group get a voice from the floor of a conference? How's a group get a voice from the floor? We got this process. You know the process. Your GSR goes to your area, right? Your area goes to your region. Your region brings it forth. How's it come to a board saying a group in Nebraska, and all of a sudden the conference is acting on this year, and you want to call it, and you have 60 days to get it back to us? There's no process in the conference agenda. There's no process in conference decisions to do with that. But it happened. And we got a third decision. And then the votes disappeared for 10 years. And I know a couple of the regions did vote on because I got letters objecting to this. Objecting to them. I know the Mid-Atlantic did vote for it. The Mid-Atlantic, I was the RSR. We did not even vote on it. We didn't have time to get this back to you. Who was part of the Mid-Atlantic back then? And the Mid-Atlantic was a pretty large region yet when that happened. So I know we didn't vote on it. I got a letter from Philadelphia objecting to it in the Philadelphia area. So I know the Philadelphia area didn't vote on it. But then they had all these votes. That's just talking about hidden stuff. Things that aren't right. Well, this is something that happened that wasn't right. Didn't. So that's the thing. Then we had the third edition wise. And the third edition wise basically was an editing of the little white book. We edited the little white book, and what it was for was correcting language issues in there that were not consistent with the basic on the way that we wrote the basic section thing. There were still words like sobriety in there. So we changed some of these things and it passed on the conference floor. And I'm talking to a few people here this weekend because you need to study past minute procedures and to realize we did something at that conference that affects the way we do things today. And why am I going to say that? Because we did something and I participated in it. We made a house clear motion. The house clear motion was that anything that we changed in the white book would be changed in every region that we have. Because change the basic text, or we changed the basic text to reflect. Sounds like something real simple. Sounds like everybody would want that, right? But it sets tax pressure enough. A lot of people don't know that. I'll get into this in a little bit. I just want you to remember that. Sets past precedent. Past precedent becomes law in a court of law. All right? And then we went through with the 8 World Sound Alliance. We got the first $50,000 book, a little white one. Charlotte, we stopped that. And then they opened the winning process up again. And it got shut back down later again. But it wasn't totally open. No one could come to a conference and participate yet. But then it was set to select few. And then it's like you were also supposed, as Dutch is saying, to sit out there in California and work on this thing. Wasn't enough way to make a session done. But we all be involved in that here process. This process that I believe built the East Coast of Narcotics. The Eastern Seaboard of Narcotics Anonymous. The Eastern Seaboard, I would go from Mississippi to here, in my mind. It built us. We exploded after that. Of that basic text. Right. And that's, but the process that happened, then, another writer was hired. There was a motion on the conference floor. The motion was to edit our basic text. And, well, can you tell them exact wording for me? Well, you tell me the exact wording of that motion to edit our basic text. And the amendment that was passed is not a political document.
Actually, I've studied this, and I was board trustees, I think, at the time when it was framed, that it was voted to do a life edit on the entire basic text, to deal with problems of gender, and very specific little cleanup spelling, commas, that kind of thing. Yeah. And all of these WSO, there was no mom back then. All those details everybody wants to be done. And the motion contained the word grammar. And so a very notable member of our Cosmonauts, Billy A., got up on the mic and he said, well, you know, grammar can mean anything. They can move paragraphs. They can rewrite it. I mean, grammar is anything at all. And so he badly persuaded us, meaning voting, you know, representative of the president, that word should be removed from the motion of grammar. All in favor, the whole room raised their hands. Anybody hear me? Y'all all hear that?
Yes. Yes.
The entire conference voted to support that amendment. And it's not listed in the minutes from the...
It's not listed in the minutes.
Right.
Check it out. So, if you really want to know about this stuff, you've got the paperwork. We've made the paperwork more available than it's ever been in the history of NA. But just talk about that. Imagine a system that's supposed to be directly responsible to us and take out a major amendment to a major motion. So they didn't even get around to getting the editors to do this little white edit. 3 years. By then, they got a very conscientious devoted But he said, oh yeah, $3,000. I'll do it. Hey, I'll do a white edit or a deep edit. Either one. So somebody in the system said, well, we get a special. We get a bargain based on price of deep edit on the basis of price. But they were unaware of the motion to the amendment. And they did a patch job. And that resulted in the fourth edition of the whole fellowship house. Okay, thank you. I'm out of here.
It's good. So we get to the point of the fourth edition. He took it right to the point of the fourth edition. We ended up getting the fourth edition made cut. Never ever sent off the fellowship to take a look at it, to make a decision on it. It was sent from the office and it's put in our list for sale. And everyone got fourth edition. Okay? Greg O'Day, he spent a lot of time in my home and myself. We got the home group of Little Apple Area to get together and edit this page and go through it. And form the fellowship of this here. Line by line, here's your changes. This is not what we asked for. There's dramatic changes in here. There's no sizable changes in our basic fact. The change in the meaning of our book. If you want to find out what the differences are, even the sixth edition, first edition, part of the book is still the same as the fifth edition. You can go in to nahelp.org/AUP. Download the third edition of my basic facts. With the original form, now you can compare it. Study it. I ask you to do that for yourself. Download it and read the differences. Don't take it by my word, but read it and see the differences. Take time, get group members together, and study it and see the differences. Don't take it by my word. I would never want you to take what I say by word. Because by word, they just get offended. But if you can read it, you can study it, and you can come to that point and understand it, then we come to conscience. See, that's how conscience is born. But we got the fourth edition. And then we go to the conference again. And we are bringing motions that we want the third edition revised patient text back. What are we doing in the conference world? We have a literature editing process from the conference board to come out with the fifth edition. Our office manager got up and said we cannot go back to the third edition revised because we sold the first books to an outside corporation and they basically funded the printing of the fourth edition. The fellowship couldn't go back to what, and the fellowship's motions were not heard. Instead, we did a conference procedure and edit the nation text on the floor and come out with the fifth edition. And that's when we made the decision that we're going to print the nation text. And historically, we print groups. And we come out with this nation text, a couple different covers of it, okay? All right? This is my Miami one? Okay. That's the Miami version. Fellowship approved version. This is FLC. Someone mentioned that to me. It's the FLC version. It is what we ended up with at the end. In other words, it's freedom. And now there's all different colors up here. Here's the English. Here's what they print in England today. Okay? This is we have a study edition one. All right, another red one, study edition. They had the Colorado in red. Got a couple different larger versions, different colors. The first one actually that came out was before the conference. And that's what we call the plain yellow wrapper, printed in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So people like to give everyone credit. And where did this thing start? I'll tell you where it started. Started in my own room. When they printed that fourth edition, we printed this instead. Where it started was in the home group I belonged to. Because we were not going to accept the fourth edition at all. And so we printed this here plain yellow wrapper. And then it came out, and people want to know what happened. We left that conference for 3 days. The Big Blue hopped on a plane, and they didn't go home. They come to Allentown, Pennsylvania with me. They come to my home, and they went to the home group to invite them into the conference with me. So they could also give a report, not just speaking report to the home group, on what happened at the conference. And at that group conference, we made a decision to print the basic text. And they said he would go to his home group in Philadelphia, and they would conscious it. And Lou went back to Florida to his home group, and they conscious it. And actually, the area down there was pretty full. They had a white group, and all the time, they put the vision actually. They were printed. Because some of the people didn't want to go back. You know, they didn't want to be against the status quo. All hope was accepted at that moment. So they start putting that. This won't cause as much controversy. All right, so we'll do this. Still causes conflict. Someone was up here talking about conflict. I mean, without conflict, there's not growth. Without looking at the truth, there's no growth. And what we did was the most ugly thing that could ever happen in Narcotics Anonymous. Through this whole process, we all got letters saying, deceases exist. They're pretty under fault. And this went to a lot of people who weren't involved in this. And this went to a lot of people that were not involved in this, and they also got letters. Most of your precious servants got letters saying, stop, deceases existed immediately. Our home group didn't stop. Great Dave's home group didn't stop. Lou's homework didn't stop, and other places didn't stop printing the book. There's versions all over the world of printing this book, but it didn't stop. The next thing that happened, they chose who we were taking to work. They chose Grateful Dave. And they sued Grateful Dave as a person in federal court in Philadelphia. You can get the documentation that court case if you want. We have stuff that's on the internet, and you want radio free, and I wrote a whole lot of stuff off radio free. And Ed. So you can find that on the internet. But if you actually want to transfer from the whole court case, you've got to send down to Philadelphia Federal Court and get them. You have to purchase them, but you get the total documentation of it. So it's not me talking. It's not both talking or assessing what happened here. It's actually documentation with Judge Lee, Judge Paul. And there was a decision made. And the decision was not a decision of won or lost. Judge Collins saw fit that this should be settled between the parties. He had the most spiritual event I've been in a long time there, in their college mountains. Sitting in the federal courthouse and sitting in the stand. Anyone ever been to court? People water in our glasses for us. We want to talk about spirituality. We want to talk about an event that inspired me happening in prayer court. And when that girl from Philadelphia got up and talked about her home group, and they asked George from the office if he could provide that place with books And he said, I'll have to ask the board of directors first. Let me ask the board of directors first. They need books. They can't afford books. You're supposed to get non-profit thing. I think that's what settled his issue with him. That this needs to be settled. And there was an agreement not between the fellowship and the office, but between Grateful Dave and the office. There's conditions that were supposed to be met by the office and the conference. And that's in here, it tells you that this Dave would personally stop printing books. Dave would personally stop printing. He would make sure they got the print place. Okay? And that he would personally stop. But there was no conditions that the fellowship would ever have to stop printing books. Not on my hunger page. It could stop my hunger from printing on that court case. It's just Grateful Dave. But the conditions that were supposed to be met and supposed to be total brutality. Every group was supposed to get line by line, every group in their pocket. Not their area, every group was supposed to, that's in the court order. Every group was supposed to get this, and they're supposed to get third edition of my case tax. So they can go through it. And then it's supposed to be a brutality from the groups in which book they wanted. Never happened. Great debate in the class of 10 stars. The bad thing is Grateful Dave died from the AIDS virus before that case could be settled. Then there are the few members which is not even again to try to submit yourself, substitute yourself as defendants. The judge originally told him that they couldn't do this here. He would not allow it in this court. However, there's another case out there to bring it. A lot of these members separate themselves from the service structure instead. They start setting up a new. Doesn't make them not their conscious anonymous members, but some of these members, homegroups, got letters in the office after that, instructed their churches that they're not their conscious anonymous. They came from George. My homegroup is one of them. Says we're not their conscious anonymous. People say you're angry, Bill. You're resentful. Do I have some anger? Yes. Am I upset? I'm not supposed to make a convention sense. I'm not a church speaker. I'm not the guy that's out there. The very active number from 79 to 89. History conferences started after that. Three were in Allentown. Well, actually, one was in Bethlehem. At Lehigh University in 91. We had two of the church with Bowen and Adam. And we had two of them go down to Alabama. History conference started. People started doing things. Grassroots stuff. Trying to get stuff in together. Trying to be involved. But it didn't stop because of that. They separated and started doing things. And there's writing going on. But the newsletter came off that same site I told them. A newsletter just came out just before I come here. It should be posted hopefully soon. A brand new one. New open ed wedding magazine. That's Total Abstinence. Basically, the whole magazine dedicated to total abstinence from any mood change substance, biochemical. Major issue in your comic anonymous today. The vehicles we can get involved in. But it's a writing project that groups are taking on again. Groups are getting involved in. We are back writing. I don't have to hear sense in the office. Give them an overload. I'm not to listen to be part of the known structure. I'm telling you, the groups are empowered to participate with each other. Groups can do these things. Your area can do these things. You can approve your literature at your group and area level. You go through the test of time. That's just yours. That's the time. That's the process. And we can produce great literature and not a product. We can produce literature that's written by addicts for addicts just to carry a message around the world. Just called rolling up our sleeves and getting back involved. That's all. No one asked me. Larry Gordon, beautiful man, never taught me about, he's telling me, Billy, you've got to get involved in service, make check for it. need a big checkbook for something. Because you got to get your stuff there. And then a guy told me, if your phone bill was under $200 a month, there's something wrong with your recovery. Well, my phone bill wasn't getting under $600 a month back then because we didn't have these here great little tools.
Anyone hear about the tools we got? Phones?
What?
You buy a pump, like most people in the world now.
Back then, my wife was divorced with over $1,000 a month. And when the region went from Virginia Beach to Maine, I was chairman of someone here. I remember going on the ice. 6 inches of ice from both places above downtown to get over Northeast Jersey to a regional. And guess what? Everybody showed up. From Maine to Virginia, we showed up. And we had the Mid-Atlantic region. You want to tell me about excitement? We were so excited. We didn't care about the weather, did we? We didn't care about the weather. We had to be there. We had to be involved to make the fans move there. See, because when you're preaching, your area hosted, you're fed as well. It was an event. It was a spiritual event. We got together. We had great regional meetings. And we taught each other how to do service. It wasn't exclusionary. It was open. And that's where the court case. This is how this came about. Because of closing things down, not allowing the groups to speak, and we heard this book in our group today, and no one's tried to shut us down since. They may exclude us. They may tell us we're rebels. We're the other remedy. They may call us all these things, but guess what? We're Narcotics Anonymous. When we say we are, as long as we follow the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, and we do that. We're just not part of the money machine. We're not part of the product machine. We're part of the recovery machine. You don't need that service structure to do that with. You can do it at your home group level. You can get involved in other groups that are doing things. You can get involved in the writing efforts. Learn your history so we're not doomed to make the same mistakes over again. He talked about that professor. Professor of linguistics. Yeah. Excuse me, 2 more minutes.
Yes, sir.
2 more minutes. All right?
Yes, sir.
But the difference is, how you come from the congressional discussion of the ninth grade walkout? Of the ninth grade walkout. But now I've got a policy phone. I don't know how I did that, but I never went to high school and I got a policy phone because they're a policy phone. I teach kids wrestling today. I'm involved with any aspect I can get myself my hands in to help people. And we need help in the Narcotics Anonymous. And that help is to clarify our message again. That help is to get your message in print on what we do and how we do it. And get rid of all the obstacles that have stopped us. The quick separation and division we talked about, and it was like, oh, the us and them, you're creating us and them. No, we're not. We're not creating us and them. What we're doing is giving you information, letting you make a clear-cut decision on it, and I hope you got enough of it and get the rest. But I know you and I know I'm going to be as is Congress for Narcotics Anonymous in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, like I do every year. And I'm assisting amongst group conferences of groups that are participating. And right now we got a major literature project that we're starting up. And you will be involved. Come in here and just. Well, feed you well. I guarantee you, I'll catch you some big trout. I bring 5 trout, but never can eat them all. Because they're all anywhere from 5 to 10 pounders, right? Jim? All right, that I catch personally myself, and we'll have some Italian food. I might get Italian way. Right? I'll go get some fresh food from the Bronx, and we'll make a great food. It's in the country. We'll have a great time. Something will be involved with us.